This morning, I want to continue with a subject I had already started on week last, I believe. I want to explore some thoughts with us as it relates to the life of an extraordinary man of God called Joseph. The story of Joseph is one that is very familiar to us as God's people. I believe that because it is so familiar, many times we miss a great deal of information that is necessary for us to grasp and understand. Because not understanding the life of Joseph and the lessons we learn from it is to position ourselves in a position of frustration. To understand Joseph is to understand a great deal about how God works his works in our lives. It gives us an understanding about how we deal with people, how things transpire, how things progress in life. Not to have that understanding is to position ourselves in the states of disappointment. But something extraordinary about this man, because he had a handle, an uncanny handle on what was happening around him. He had an understanding of what God was doing in him and through him. And that is exactly what propelled him from the place of being a nobody to the place of highest importance. His life is worth exploring. So let's just recapture some things that we talked about at the very beginning. The Bible starts out in Genesis 37. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger." He dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. I'm going to spend some time on that particular verse some other day, not today. But he dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, where his father was not settled, he settled there. Where his father was not able to make it, he made it there. Where his father was estranged, he possessed. And that's exactly what God wants to do for every one of us. That the limitations of our fathers do not impede or establish where we should be. Every father becomes a seed to the next generation. And so every father is supposed to bring about a harvest. You are greater and should be greater than your father, and your children should be greater than you, and their children should be greater than them, because God is about progress, increase, continuity. Amen? That the things that you did not see happen in the home that you started with, because there are limitations, that you will not have those limitations. Amen? So he was. He says, Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger. His father was a stranger in that land, in the land of Canaan. He says, and then it says, these are the generations of Jacob, who wasn't a stranger, who dwelt in that land. He says, these are the generations of Jacob, and it goes on and talks about Joseph being, present tense continuous, 17 years old. He was 17 years old. Now, as we said last week, when it says these are the generations of Jacob, it should immediately kick into talking about the children of Jacob. But therein is found the very mission of this man, Joseph. Because if Joseph did not fulfill his destiny, there'll be no lineage for Jacob. They would have been wiped out. And if Jacob is wiped out, Israel is wiped out. There'll be no nation called Israel. Because of this one man, Joseph, Israel was to live and continue and be a nation because of Joseph. Because of you, you never know what because of you is going to bring about. God has a plan for your life. Nobody here is here by accident. When you were born with a reason, with a purpose, with a particular mission on God's mind. I am here because of you, and you are here because of me. We are here because of this city. We are here because of this country. What we do impacts the future. And Joseph, the Bible says, was 17 years old, and he was feeding the flock with his brethren. And he noticed something happening. He noticed that the sons of Bilhah, which were, I guess you might call concubines, of his father, the sons of Bilhah. Bilhah meaning somebody that is troubled, but it also comes from the root word for timid. Bilhah and another son, the Bible tells us his name, the sons of Zilpah. And Zilpah means troubled or drip, just trickling. His father's wives, they were not doing their part. And he goes and he tells his father about what was happening, and they were not very happy with him, of course. You're telling on us. The Bible goes on and tells us that one day, out of the blue, the father gets him a coat of many colors and he puts it on him. And when he put that garment on him, a new beginning started. You and I need fathers that know our assignment and mothers that know our assignment. And we need to be fathers and mothers that know our children's assignment. You see, even the Lord Jesus Christ did not know the day of the beginning of his ministry. Here he was, invited to a wedding, and the wine runs out, and the mother comes to him and says, we need something here. We need a miracle. He's never done a miracle before in his life. Need you to do something. What problem is this? What do I have to do with this? But she leaves him and talks to the servants. He says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. All of a sudden, wow. He steps into his calling. He says to the servants, go, fill those pots with water. And they filled it with water. He tells them to take a cup from the pot of this empty pot, and they take it to the MC. And when the MC tastes of the water, it was wine. The ministry of Jesus started. But he did not know it was that day. Sometimes you don't know when God has set apart, he's appointed time to do something extraordinary with your life. That's why we need to be around the right people who will spark us into our destiny. On the day that God called me, God used my father to launch me into my ministry, into my time of God. And someday I'll tell you some of that. We need somebody. God, put your hand on your head. Say with me, Lord, use me to start somebody up. Use me to get somebody going into their destiny, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. His father put a coat on him. And as soon as he put that coat on him, the Bible says he began to dream dreams. It was the beginning of what God was going to do with his life a few years later. You see, when you understand the purposes of God for your life, he gives to you, first thing he wants to give to you is the ability to see. Somebody say, Lord, make me see. He saw visions. First thing he saw were these sheaves. And he saw that his brother's sheaves were all standing up and his was laying flat. But then he stood up just like his brothers. And then their sheaves bowed down to his. You know, sometimes you can get excited about what God is about to do in your life, that you start talking about it to the wrong people. And so he told it to his brothers. And the brothers were not very pleased with this kind of a dream. You know, it's amazing how when it is the purpose of God for your life, that other people can hone in into what you're saying. It's incredible. You share a dream that is going to position you. Other people have their uncanny sense of interpreting it. They understood it. They understood this dream. Then he dreamt another dream, but it all happened after the coat came on him. And guess what? The enemy is going to try to make certain that he doesn't have that coat. Because this coat, the enemy thinks, this coat is what is causing all the problem. It's causing him to see all kinds of things. But I tell you something, when God places his hand on your life, he's placed it on it already. And nothing that the devil intends to do is going to stop what God has already pronounced over you. Amen. He dreams another dream. The stars and the moon and the sun are bowing down to his star. He tells this to his father and to his brothers, and they're all upset. But his father took note of it. He was upset, but he took note of it. And so it was. God is guiding him and he doesn't know. But there's something we know about him. He has a servant's heart. He's taking care of his father's flock. But on a particular day, his father kept him at home. His brothers are out there. All of them are out there. They are doing their thing, but Joseph and Benjamin are home. That's his junior brother, his second born. And his brothers are gone. And the Bible tells us where they went to. It says in chapter 37, verse 14, it says, and this is verse 12, it says, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Somebody says Shechem. Now that's an interesting word, Shechem. Shechem means, it simply means back or shoulder. That's what it means. But Shechem is the place also of deception. It's a place of deception in the sense that in Shechem, one of the daughters of Jacob was raped, and the brothers heard about it. The father of the young man that raped their sister fell deeply in love with her and wants to marry her, and goes to tells his father, and his father comes to Jacob and tells Jacob, you know, we messed up, but my son really wants to marry your daughter. He really is in love with him, with her, and they tell the brothers. And the brother says, we can't let you, an uncircumcised person, get married to our sister. That's not going to happen. We're not going to let you do that. So they said, circumcise your men, all of them. So they circumcised them. And while they were still hurting, the sons of Jacob jump on these guys and kill all of them. It was a place of what? Deception. Yeah? Okay, now this is telling us something, because that's where they go, and the Bible tells us something else. It says in verse 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. Hebron means togetherness, alliance, association, and he came to Shechem. He left the place of alliance, association, partnership, and he comes to Shechem, the place of the back shoulder, or the place that you may call the place of deception. He gets there, and they are not there. He says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He's wandering in the field in Shechem. This is not a familiar place for him. He left the place of association. He's come to Shechem, the place of the back, the shoulder, the strength, and all of that, but it's a place of deception. And he's out of sorts. But somebody came alongside of him. And this is what happens. Many times you come to a place where you really don't belong. You really don't belong there. And you start wandering. And during those times, may God send you somebody who can point you. Amen? We all need people that come alongside of us. And everything I'm saying today, I'm saying in a very prophetic way, into your spirit, that God will do for you what he did for this man. Anyway, he's pointed, and he comes to a place called Dothan. They've gone ahead to Dothan. So he comes to Dothan, but Dothan means a place of two cisterns or two wells. This is a place of true spirituality and a place of religion. Two wells. The place of spirit and the place of flesh. And while he's coming there, his brothers see him and they say, hey, there comes the dreamer. We're going to deal with him. Let's get rid of him now and let's see what's going to happen with the dreams he has. But this is God. This is God. God, even in the midst of your enemies, always has somebody that will help you. And so, even in the midst of them, God created a situation. Reuben steps in and says, let's not do that, let's not do that. And so, they found a pit and they threw him into the pit. And so, he was there. And he intended to come back and get him so he can take him back to his father. I don't want him to die. I don't want him to die, and I don't want anything bad to happen to him. That's a good thing, but sometimes good intentions can keep you away from your destiny. So my prayer and my declaration over you today is that people's good ideas don't take you away from what you must go through so that you can fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. Please hear this. Because not everything that comes and saves you is there to save you. Some things you and I need to go through. Learn that. Learn that God will, when God gives his vision, when God establishes his purpose in your life, he is there to make certain that that which he has declared over you comes to pass. God is not going to be a liar because of me. God is not going to be a liar because of you. He is going to do whatever it is that he needs to do to maneuver you into your particular purpose, destiny, and his vision for you. So there he was placed in the pit. And while he's there in the pit, the brothers sit down and they are chowing down and they are celebrating. And they see a caravan of the Ishmaelites coming. Ishmael means God hears. But there's an interesting thing about the passage here, because the scriptures keeps on using two different names, Ishmaelites and Midianites. They are both interchanged, Ishmaelites and Midianites. And I did a series on the Midianite spirit, and I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to release that particular series back into your hand, because this is the last battle the church, we as a people of God, are going to have to deal with. The spirit of Midian. It's a fundamental spirit that we are going to conquer, because the Midianite spirit is a spirit that takes whatever it is that it can get from you and uses it to staff itself and stock up itself. And whatever the enemy has taken away from you must be restored back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, they see this Ishmaelites / Midianites coming, and they decide, hey, let's sell him. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's sell him. And that way, it won't be that we kill them. If he dies, he dies. So they sold him. And the Ishmaelites / Midianites, because it's switching in the passage, they take him, and they take him to Egypt. The sons of Jacob, you know the story well, they kill an animal. One of the flock, they kill it. They take the blood, they sprinkle it, and soak the coat. That's the first thing they went after. They took the coat off of him. The Bible says they stripped him of his coat. They tore it apart. They soaked it in blood. And they came to their father and said, do you recognize this? But hear this. This is remarkable. This is remarkable. Verse 32 of chapter 37. What is remarkable about this verse is something, a spiritual principle that you and I need to know and be very aware of. It says, and they sent the coat of many colors. They did what? They sent the coat of many colors, and then it says, and they brought it to their father. You can't do both. You can't have sent it and then brought it. You couldn't have sent it. So how was it sent? It is sent spiritually. It is sent by the thinking of their minds. Are you with me? The vision and the purpose of God is accomplished, first of all, in your mind, in your thinking. They sent it, and then they brought it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, this is totally different. In Genesis 18, it says Abraham was sitting at the door of his tent.
And he lifted up his eyes and he saw three men standing by him. And the next statement it makes, he says, and he ran to them. You can't do both. You can't have three men standing by you and then you start running to them. How did he see them standing by him? Because he saw something that was finished, something that was done. And he had a spirit of expectation. That's why at the heat of day, he is at the entrance of his house. He knew, he had a sense that something was about to, what was about to happen. But what he didn't know, he didn't know what was going to happen. But he knew something was about to happen. And with a spirit of expectation, he was there waiting. When he lifted up his eyes, he saw in the realm of the spirit first, and then he saw in the natural. You and I need to see in the realm of the spirit first. Hallelujah. For as it is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth. Glory be to God. My prayer for you and for me and for everyone listening to me this day is that God quickens our spiritual insight, foresight, all sight, that we see clearly what God is doing, so that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, nor are we ignorant of the plans and purposes of God for our lives. Hallelujah. So they sent it. It says, and they sent the coat of many colors. And then they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Oh, what a setup. Jacob, right then, begins to pronounce the death of his son. They didn't say he's dead. But he said, he's dead. I know it. I know it. He says, in verse 30, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. This. It is, the words of men are powerful. But they are not going to stop the plan and vision of God for your life. I don't care who it is that is saying it, whether it's a patriarch Jacob that's saying it, your father saying it, your mother saying it, whatever they say that does not fit with God's plan over your life shall not override God's will. People say all kinds of things. Yeah. Even Jacob pronounced him dead. While he's busy pronouncing dead, they are selling him to a guy and this general, Potiphar, who is actually the one who is an executor. He kills prisoners. That's his assignment for Pharaoh. He just beheads people. He gets this guy, Joseph. He gets him. He says, come serve me. And Joseph gets in there. And this Hebrew, and in a moment you understand what this really means, because in the passage, the Egyptians were a very arrogant race of people. They didn't sit down and eat with you. Who are you? And if you were a shepherd, oh, definitely, you don't qualify. You don't qualify to hang around them. And here they bring Joseph, and he sees the hand of God on Joseph. May people recognize what God has placed on your life and establish you in the assignment God has for you. In Jesus' mighty name. So here he is, sold to Potiphar. In verse 30 says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. In chapter 38 is a story of Judah and Tamar. It had nothing to do with Joseph at all, but it is this. Are you ready for this? I've not said this to you for a whole while. I've told you about the different things that happened in chapter 38. But one overriding principle in chapter 38 is this, that what you have been promised must come to you. Hallelujah. What you have been promised must what? Come to you. Tamar is promised a son, but the intent was not to give him that son, give her that son. But God, hallelujah, God had already intended that Tamar was going to be part of his family line. And it didn't matter what Judah was doing. The mess up, the craziness, all the foolishness that was happening, Tamar still had the twins that she was going to have. She still had her Phares. And through that lineage, Jesus was going to come. The promise of God was going to come to pass, even though Judah, like I said, chapter 38 has nothing to do with Joseph. It's a weird, and the story in chapter 38 has deep levels upon levels. So we come to chapter 39. God is guiding him. And he's in Potiphar's house. The Bible says in 39 and verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer. Actually, let me go back up. It says in verse 39:2. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Someone say, the Lord was with Joseph. Say it again, the Lord was with Joseph. Someone say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. As he was with Joseph, so he's also with me. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. May people see that the Lord is with you in Jesus' mighty name. May they see that the Lord is with me. May they see that the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. For where God is, there is liberty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Everything that Joseph did prospered. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, you are with me. Therefore, everything I lay my hands to do must prosper for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prosperity in my hands. Good success in my hands. Hallelujah. And when he saw that, he says, and because of this, and Joseph found grace in his sight. Joseph found grace in the sight of the man that was busy executing people. Oh, how God can cause things to happen in your life from unlikely sources. Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. Joseph found grace in his sight and he what? Served him. Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. What's going on? Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. Two things. We are apt to serve people from whom we have received grace, favor. You undo yourself when a man or a woman, somebody, has been gracious to you, opened their heart to you, opened their life out to you, and you don't serve them. Now, I didn't say that that is going to mean that everything is going to fall in place, because you see, when God is guiding your life, when God wants to shoot you, you've heard me say this many times, and Joseph is the epitome of that. When God wants to shoot you, he pulls you back. One of the great signs of you recognizing that you're a person of destiny, a person that God has raised up to do something, is that you get pulled back. If you start out and everything is flourishing right away, you are a short season plant. And this is a mistake that many people make. It's a mistake that many people make. They see a thing that just sprouts up like overnight and grows overnight. Everything seems to be going well. It seems to be very fruitful. And they forget it's a tomato plant. It's not an apple. It may be red, but that is tomatoes. An apple tree takes a while. Somebody listening? The greater the purpose of God for your life, the longer you have to wait. But if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a message, if you don't have a calling, you're just waiting. But if you have heard from God, don't shoot yourself in the foot by canceling out the blessing of God and jumping into something that is going to be temporary. Just for a season. And it's going to die. There's no continuity there. It's exciting. Wow. It's the difference between having pure gold jewelry and having a fashion. You understand? The fashion one, your skin will start reacting. There's a difference between the real pearl and the fake one. It might look, the fake one might be this big, but it's still fake. Hallelujah. There's a difference between having the real Louis Vuitton and the one from China. It looks good, but it's not the real deal. Glory be to God. So he's here and he's blessed. Everything he places his hand on is blessed. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Are you blessed because of me? And am I blessed because of you? Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, this blessing of the Lord that we're talking about, it's not just about the property, physical property, the gold and the silver and whatever else that Potiphar had, but on his servants. So in other words, everybody around him got blessed. But the real reason they're all getting blessed is because of who? Joseph. Ah. But won't you know that the devil is a bad devil? Potiphar's wife decides, because the Bible says he was a very handsome man. He was very well favored, actually. Let me read it to you. Verse 6 of 39, he says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had." Potiphar didn't know what he had. He had no idea. Joseph knew it. "Save the bread which he did eat." And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That's King James' way of saying, man, the guy was cute. This man was a handsome man, a good looker. And so because he was all of that, Potiphar's wife started propositioning him. And he kept on saying, nope, 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 nope. And she's tired of this. And one day, nobody was home. And she seized the opportunity to try to seduce him. And the man said, no, I can't do this. I know my limits. Your husband, my boss, gave me charge of everything in here, but did not give me you. So, I am not going to do that. And she's upset. She's a woman scorned, and she goes after him. And guess what she goes after? The coat. The coat. He's got to get the coat. This is the coat that is giving you that boldness. She grabs the coat. And the thing that was meant to be a blessing became a problem for Joseph. You know, sometimes that which is a blessing, that which God has given to you to be a blessing, can become your problem. I'm reminded of the day I said to the Lord, I was doing meetings in India at the time, and God was doing great miracles. Miracles were happening left, right, and center. Things were just happening. I had not seen the power of God move like that in me and through me, bringing healing to people that way before that particular moment. And I said to the Lord, I don't want the healing anointing. You don't want what? I said, I don't want the healing anointing. Why don't you want it? It's causing me too much stress, I said. People are going to be expecting me to deliver. They're going to expect me to bring healing to them. Because the people were getting healed everywhere I went. And such that people were dropping, trying to worship me like a god. No kidding. I'm walking and they're falling down and grabbing me and please get up, get up. And it was so deep that on the last day of the crusade meeting, the Lord told me, don't go to that grounds today. I said, why not? He said, because the Hindus are coming to kill you today. I said, what did I do? He says, you're causing them too much trouble. Don't go to those grounds. Now, when God tells you don't go somewhere, don't go. Because if you go, you will die there. He already told you not to go. It was in India during this time that the battle was heavy. All this time that God was using me to get people healed, I was so sick. I was sick like a dog. I was sick. You understand sick? I was very sick. It was only when I got on that stage that I was healthy. But as soon as I got out of there, I'm sick. I go back to my bed and I lay down, and the devil was trying to kill me. And I remember one day I had this dream. I saw myself going into, why am I telling this story now? I'm going into a forest. I'm walking towards this forest, and I stopped. And I said, I can't go into that forest because I didn't tell Mama I was going to be going to that forest. I woke up. I said to the Lord, I said, what kind of a funny dream was that? He said, son, if you had gone into that forest, you would have died. I said, what? He said, you would have not come out, you would have died. I talked to Mama, I think, that day or when I got back. And at the same time that this was happening to me in India, she was awakened from sleep. And so was a dear sister called Sister Shirley Penner. We just saw her last week. They were both awakened from sleep, and they started praying and interceding for me. May God give you intercessors in Jesus' name. They were interceding, praying. They didn't know I was sick unto death. And the enemy wanted to snuff me, but it was too late. God had already called me and anointed me and raised me up to be a prophet to the nations. I will fulfill my destiny in Jesus' name. So will you. The devil's a liar. Whatever God has for you, you will accomplish. I declare and decree here, this day, April the 2nd, 2017, you will not falter, you will not fall, you will not fail, you will accomplish God's will, and God will glorify His name in you and through you, and you will celebrate, and you will be celebrated in Jesus' mighty name. Potiphar's wife wanted him to do the wrong thing. He said no. And the end of the story is, he gets thrown into jail. And now he's in jail. He gets to jail, and the warden turns over the whole prison over to him. Why? God was with him. And the prisoner starts running the prison. And the warden is busy smoking his big cigars. I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing something. But Joseph is running the prison. He's learning the skills of management. When did he learn it? When he knew that Bilhah and Zilpah were not doing the right thing, the sons. They were not doing the right thing by their father. Their management system was wrong. He learned that, and now he's in Potiphar's house, and he's running everything. And now he's in the prison, and he's running everything. And all of a sudden, there's the dream. God is guiding him. God, who's guiding him, is pulling him back like an arrow. And the farther back he's pulling him, the farther he's going to launch him. This was not a short journey. It was going to be far, far, far. Does it seem like it's taking too long to get to the place you need to go? There's an appointed time. God said to Abraham and Sarah, at the time appointed, I will return and visit you. Please hear this. Actually, let me read you that verse. I keep on going back to Genesis 18 this evening, but this morning. But there's a reason. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because this is how God works. In Genesis 18 and let me take it from verse 10. It says, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Now, we can easily miss the point. I'll certainly return to you at the time of life. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. What is God saying? You see, the manifestation, when he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, according to the appointed time, he's saying, I, God, Jehovah, I am going to come. And he was going to manifest himself in that seed that was coming out of Sarah's womb called Isaac. Every miracle that happens in your life is God manifesting himself. Jesus is the what? The Word of God. And it is through the Word that everything that is made was made. Every time God speaks and something happens, it is him, because his word and himself are the same. Maybe that was, I went too deep. I really went deep on you there. But hear this. The word of God is what will manifest your destiny. The word of God. That's why you must not let go of it. That's why you must never forget it. Anyway, he's in the prison, sent in there by Potiphar, and one day the king gets upset with his baker and butler and holds them and throws them in jail. And they're there for about 3 days, and one day they were there for some time, and one day both of them, he wakes up and he's checking the prison and he sees them and they are sad. This is a principle. You need to know the people around you and the environment in which you are. When God brings people into your life, he brings them into your life for a reason. I have to go back to Genesis 18 again. He brings people into your life for a reason. Nobody is in your life without a reason for being there. There's nobody here today that is here by accident. You are here because God brought you here so that I can minister to you and so that you can minister to me. We're here. We are interconnected. Don't miss it. And so there were these two guys. And he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He tells them, they tell him, we had dreams. Oh, tell me your dreams. Tell me your dreams. So they told him their dreams. And he said to the butler, according to your dream, you said there are three branches, and from this vine, and you've squeezed the fruit of the vine and put it in Pharaoh's cup, and you handed it to him to drink. He says, you, in 3 days, you're going to be restored to your position of authority. It's going to be well with you. And when everything happens, don't forget me. All right? Don't forget me. Get me out of here. I'm here for the wrong reasons. And he tells his story about how things were bad for him, and this is the deal. It doesn't matter how long you tell people about how bad things have been for you. When it's not time for you to get out, you're not getting out. They are going to forget. Your story is not what's going to help you get out. It is God at the fullness of time. That's why you must never allow yourself to be frustrated about whatever it is that's happening in your life. And he says to the baker who told him his story about this, you know, he had this stuff in his head and, you know, baked stuff for Pharaoh and birds came, and he says to him, he says, you're dead. In 3 days, you're going to die. And just like he said, so it happened. Pharaoh calls the two guys in. He's celebrating his workers. And he frees the butler. But the baker died. And the Bible says, in chapter 40 and verse 23, it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Verse 21, the butler says, and he restored the chief butler into his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Are you with me? But this statement I'm going to read you is a remarkable statement found in verse 13 of chapter 41. It is an interesting statement coming from the butler's mouth when the king had his own dream about the 7 good years and the 7 bad years. I'm going to finish this message tonight because the most important part is where I'm not going to be able to get to. In Genesis 41, the butler is recounting to Pharaoh, and he begins to tell the story of Joseph and what happened to him. He says in verse 11, he says, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, meaning the baker. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret and clencher. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Here the next statement, me he restored unto mine office, and him he what? He hanged. Interesting statement. He didn't say, he told me I'm going to be restored. And he told him that he was going to be hanged. He said, me he restored, him he hanged. While your words will not work on the word, on the life of a person of destiny that God has planned something for, your words can release somebody from disaster that deserves disaster. He restored me unto my office. That was what was going to happen. But it says, and him he hanged. That statement is a statement of Joseph saying, you're done. If Joseph had said, this is what should happen, but as a prophet of God, I declare that mercy be extended to you. You may be demoted, you may be whatever, but live. That's exactly what would have happened. Now, you say, isn't that a little bit far-fetched? No, the Lord said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whatever sins you hold on to will not be forgiven. You have the ability to release people or lock them up. That you dreamt a dream does not mean that it must come to pass that exact same way. There is a place called the place of intercession. Amen? And great people must learn the power of the authority that's been given to them. Whatever it is that you bind shall be bound. Whatever it is that you loose shall be loose. What power has God has given to you, and how are you exercising it? It is grace, God's grace sufficient in your life, that's going to enable you and I to fulfill our destiny. Some of the thoughts I want you to grab a hold of tonight or this morning is this. First, get a grip and an understanding on God's vision, mission, and purpose for your life. Sit down, consider it. What is God saying about me? Because that explains the why of where things are and what is happening in your life. Understand that God, when guides you, sometimes may take you in the opposite direction of where you think you should be going, depending on whatever it is that He's called you to do. Understand that you are in a training process. Here he was managing his father's house, managing Potiphar's house, managing the prison, and now he's going to manage a whole country. We didn't talk about that yet. We'll talk about that later. Everything was positioning him for the greater. Now, this is one thing that you and I must understand, that while God is directing you, you need to be also aware of what you don't have. And systematically come to God and say, God, I see that I have all of this, but if this happens, I don't have what I need. Help me. And He will help you, guide you into everything that you need for your business, for your relationships, for your calling, everything. God is your partner. Amen? And He's a good partner. Even when you don't understand what He's doing, He will get you there. But don't go after Potiphar's wife, because you will ruin your destiny. You still have the power to shut it down. The devil cannot shut you down. There's only one person that can shut you down. Guess who that person is? Yourself. What you do, what you say, how you think can shut you down. God will not, and the devil can't. But you, because you have the power of agreement with God or with your circumstance, you determine it.